Hello, friends. Welcome to the His Beloved Catholic Podcast with Megan Copeland and Kendra Bartlett. We are two best friends who live across the street from each other. We have a desire to see revival come in the Catholic Church. On this podcast, we talk about life and faith. We like to hear people's stories, but most of all, we spur each other on to live fully alive as Catholics. No more Sunday check the box Catholics for us. We invite you to come along on this journey with us and to let the Lord speak to your heart and enliven your faith. Hey friends, welcome back to the His Beloved Podcast. I'm Megan, and we are so excited to be back with you today. So we're not fully back. We're kind of sort of here, kind of sort of not. We had a terrible illness strike our street last week, and Kendra's family was down with the flu all week long. My family had all sorts of other crazy illnesses, strep, other things. You name it, we've had it around here. And so we were not able to record a podcast episode last week. Wah, wah. So sorry, but we have something really special for you. So a lot of you guys have joined us in the last year, and so we think that maybe you didn't get to hear a really cool series that we did last year. It was called Find Your Fire, and it was an 8-part series where Kendra and I just got to pour into our listeners about finding who they are in the Holy Spirit and who has God called you to be, an identity, and listening to the Holy Spirit and hearing from the voice of God. And today's episode is one of those from that series, and it was about healing wounds. And we did something that is one of my absolute favorite things, and that is to take a Disney movie and look and see where you can find God in the movie. So we've done this with Moana, and this time we do it with Encanto. And Encanto has so much to teach us about charisms and the Holy Spirit. And intentionally on this episode, we talk mainly about wounds and how this family had these deep wounds and how that affected later generations. And we dive into Dr. Bob Schutte's theories on the seven deadly wounds. So it's a fantastic episode. I guarantee you will find yourself somewhere in these wounds. And if you heard this episode before, it's okay. Listen to it again, because you're probably in a totally different place in your healing journey. And I bet the Lord will show you something you didn't see last time around. And you may just go down a completely different avenue of a wound that he may want you to heal, or something completely different may stand out to you. We also talk a lot about butterflies, which is maybe my favorite part of the whole episode. And right now, my daughter has some caterpillars on our windowsill, and today they made chrysalises. So my prayer for you guys is that we could be like those butterflies and let the Lord work in our hearts and then bust forth this beautiful creation. All right, hope you enjoy. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the His Beloved Podcast. I'm Megan.
And I'm Kendra. It's so good to be with you guys again.
And this is another episode of our Find Your Fire.
Find Your Fire.
We were like, we're so excited.
We're so excited.
Yes. I can't wait to,
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's so fun.
It is. So just speaking of Find Your Fire, I was just thinking about this, like, have we fully explained, like, what does it mean to find your fire? Like, we're giving episodes and steps, right? And if we can encompass it in, like, a sentence or two, I think find your fire is living fully alive as God intends mm-hmm. you to do.
Yeah.
You know? And it's finding that within yourself that God has placed already and igniting it and letting it just blaze.
Yeah, because it's there.
Yes.
Like, God has given us all the tools that we need in the Holy Spirit and in his love, but we just don't allow it to go, like, to take root and to blaze, like you said. Like, now is the time for that.
Yeah. In the book that we're reading for our encounter classes, it gave this great analogy, and it's so funny because someone that my husband does ministry with has given this analogy at confirmation retreats over and over and over again, and he was like, hey, Jeremy, this is you. But do you remember the chocolate milk thing? Like, you get a glass of milk and you pour chocolate syrup in it.
I'm behind
and,
in the book.
I don't know. Okay, that's okay. And you can't see it until you stir it up. And so we are the milk, and God has poured his chocolate syrup in us in baptism.
Oh, and it's just sitting there doing nothing.
And it's just sitting there. Right. And it's meant to flavor us and to sweeten us and to, you know, empower us. You know, sugar gives you the sugar rush. You know, I'm kind of getting a little far into this analogy.
And to change who we are.
But to change who we are. Yeah. Yes, forever. Like, it's never going to separate out again.
You know? Oh, that's good.
So that's what I think about finding your fire. Like, stir it up. We are stirring you up.
Let's
and
go.
Allowing the Lord to stir us up.
You know, today's Our Lady of Fatima's, the day she made the sun dance.
Oh, really?
Isn't that sweet? Okay. I read it this morning. It's a very special day to
beautiful.
Me. Like, so come on. Like, she can make the sun dance in the sky bring all those people to Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, she's ready for us to really believe this and go.
And I love that miracle so much because there are reporters there to witness it and to report on it. You know, there's documentation. It wasn't something that happened in like 1604.
No.
You know, like it was fairly current, you know.
No, there were not only reporters there to document it. They were there to disprove
right.
it.
Right. Yes,
they were
yes,
there
yes.
to say this is not happening.
Yeah.
And atheistic reporters
right.
left there. And became Catholic because they saw a miracle take place right before their eyes. Like, come on, y'all.
Praise
That's
God.
Crazy.
This is a God we serve. This is a God who is stirring up
right.
our chocolate
Who's calling
milk.
All of this?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we have some components to find your fire. One is knowing your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Another is we really believe healing wounds.
Yeah.
If we are walking around wounded, which we all are, like, mm-hmm. let's be honest, everyone has some sort of wound they carry from their childhood or from something current that's happening in their lives, from a relationship. And those wounds cause us to not be able to fully receive what God has for us. It, they cause us to react in situations where we wouldn't otherwise react, and without even knowing it, maybe. Like, it can trigger a little wound in our hearts, and before we know it, we're causing a big, you know, problem with a family member or a relative or someone near our hearts.
And I can even speak to that. So years ago, a friend of mine, she was talking about wounds and how we all have wounds and stuff, and I was like, I don't have any wounds. You know, I've been very blessed to not have like many traumatic things happen in my life and that sort of thing. So I kind of blew it off, but it's always been a seed in the back of my mind. And so as I'm going through this, you know, the Lord has been taking me on this journey this past 2 years. I have so many wounds and so many like underlying, I guess softer wounds, I guess you can say, not like blatant outright big ones. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But as the Lord has gently opened my eyes and my heart to see them and brought them to the surface, He's allowed me to connect kind of the repercussions of them. And some of them are, yes, hurting other people in response, but it's also putting up walls.
What you're saying is beautiful. And you just made me think of something. You've often said that the devil doesn't always come at us with these big, you know, outright outlandish lies. He comes at you with little soft whispers and smoke and mirrors. And sometimes I think those smaller wounds can be even more dangerous than the big wounds because we don't even realize
you don't even realize them. Absolutely.
And so we're not paying attention to them. We're like, if you know you have some childhood trauma, you're going to like,
you're
probably
aware.
Be a little bit more aware of that than some of these wounds that are just sliding under the radar and they're causing issues that you don't even know.
Right.
But what I think is so beautiful about your story is you took that to prayer and the Lord revealed them to you.
Yeah.
Which is so much of what Dr. Bob Schutz and Sister Miriam and the JP2 Healing Center suggest is like just bringing these things to the heart of Jesus because it's a way for him to intimately love us in the place that we need it so desperately and to speak love into those wounded places because that's the greatest level of healing is coming straight from the heart of God.
Right. And it's super important as we go into this and as you begin your journey to not become a navel gazer and look inward and stir stuff up yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not what God intends with this. We're not supposed to look inward and dig up and search for wounds and that sort of thing. It's just to change your posture to this posture of openness to say, okay, Lord, let's go on this journey. Please guide me and allow him to let those things bubble up to the surface gently because he's going to do it gently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a loving father. And just to share something that happened, just to witness to that is, I was praying over someone just very, very dear to my heart who has been in bondage for a long time. And after I prayed with that person, I just thought, I can't wait to see if God heals this person.
Mm.
And then I just had this like check, it's not if he heals him, it's when he heals him. Yeah. Because God does not want this person in bondage.
No.
And he doesn't want you in bondage. He doesn't want any of us in bondage. And so he's going to gently allow these things to come to the surface. He's going to put people in our path. He's going to put books at our fingertips. He's going to allow healing prayer opportunities. He's going to allow retreats to happen, you know, and he's going to gently guide you on this beautiful journey.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, we were preparing for our retreat called Set Free. And it was funny when Kendra and I first started, we were literally in the front yard. Like, I remember this moment. And we were like, let's do a women's night. What do you think we should call it? I don't know. Set Free sounds good.
That's true.
Literally how that went down. And we had no idea. I mean, it was clearly a moment of the Holy Spirit, but we didn't know why. We were just like, let's go with that. That sounds great. And then over the next couple of months, the Lord really took us on this journey of learning about healing prayer and about deliverance prayer and just this like deep desire of his heart to set his women free, mm-hmm. his people free. He mm-hmm. wants everyone to be free. He does not desire us to live in bondage. And there was this recurring theme in my prayer of justice. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know what justice means.
Yeah.
And I don't like that word, kind of scares me a little bit, and I don't understand it. And so I just, everywhere I looked, it was like in every scripture, and like the Lord was clearly trying to tell me something. And then one day he finally revealed what it was to me. And he said, I see the brokenness in the world and will make it right. No longer will I let my people live in chains and darkness. It is time to step into the light and be set free.
Yeah.
He desires us to be set free. And it's not in, like you said, if he heals, this is his desire for everyone.
When.
It's when, right. Like all we have to do is ask and make those first steps and, and go for prayer and allow him to access our heart. That doesn't mean it's going to happen fast.
And it's not going to feel good either.
Yeah. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Like
right.
this could be years, but the goal, but his desire is to heal our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here we go. We ready for this?
Yes. Theology according to Tessa. Are we going there?
Theology according
yeah!
to Tessa. So I have a 2-year-old. And she goes through these phases of like falling in love with Disney movies. And you know how like it is when you have a kid, you watch the same movie over and over and over and over 7 million times. And it's funny because I think you start to like kind of like tune it out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's different pieces that like stand out to me every time. But like the Lord speaks to me through Disney movies.
I decided
this is like one of my charisms. I don't know if that's a real thing, but like.
I love it.
God speaks to me through Disney.
Uh-huh.
Is that weird? But I thought about this morning because a lot of people like don't like Disney, and I get
that. Yeah, I get that too. Yeah.
And I'm not saying all of it is good.
Right.
There's a whole lot of stuff out there on Disney Plus that I would not let my children watch, and I don't advise. But there's also some really beautiful themes. And
mm-hmm.
I think what part of why Disney stands out to me so much is because it speaks to the heart of our daughters
mm-hmm.
in such a beautiful way. And it's like if we can take this story and see where God is moving
mm-hmm.
and can move in our own hearts, then it's good and
mm-hmm.
it's worthy. And I think it's not just Disney. There's probably other shows out there that you could do the same thing with. I'm just not watching those because my kids aren't like making me watch those nonstop.
Right.
So it's like Disney that I'm seeing it. So we have like a whole Moana theology.
Uh-huh.
We did a whole retreat on Moana and identity for
amazing.
Young girls. And, but right now Tessa is into Encanto again. I also can do this with Frozen, by the way. Like I got a whole theology for Frozen too. We haven't gone there yet, but I got one for that. But so she's been into Encanto, and we actually did an episode on Encanto for our girls podcast. And this one's going to be different. So if you heard that one, great. If not, you might want to go back and listen to it at the end of this one, because that one we spoke more about gifting and charism
mm-hmm.
and identity. And this one, we're going to talk more about wounds and family generational trauma and what the actual, what's her last name? Madrigal, is that their name?
I think that family
went through.
Yeah.
Through
Say
all
it very beautifully.
Madrigal. Not really.
<Fun.
laughs> Anyways, so if you haven't watched the movie Encanto, you might want to go watch
it. You might want to go watch it.
Before we continue
on.
For sure. If you have watched it, join along. Okay, so backstory on Encanto. It is the story of a family in Colombia, and at the beginning of the movie, it's a flashback to 30 years ago, and the abuela, the little grandma, she and her husband end up in some sort of, like, their city's being taken over, some
mm-hmm.
sort of war is happening, there's something dangerous happening in their city, and they have just given birth to triplets. And so they are running from people on horses who are there to take down their city. And I kind of got the feeling, I don't know if you've noticed this, I kind of got the feeling that the husband sacrificed himself to save the people. Okay,
that's what I got too, 100%. Yeah. He encouraged him to go on.
And then he goes back. Goodbye,
and then he turned around to go back, trying to
He goes back to fight off the people and let them escape, which is beautiful, which may be where part of this miracle came from.
Yeah.
And so in that site where that happens, a miracle takes place for Abuela and her family, and they're given this candle. And they call it their miracle, and then a house is built. And this sounds kind of silly, but a house is built on this on that ground. And this house is enchanted, which is why they call it Encanto. And so what I love to do with Disney movies is there's always a lot of like magic flowing through, and I like to look at the magic in Disney as the Holy Spirit. So if you can look at that house and everything that's moving in that house as the way the Holy Spirit guides our hearts, it all makes a whole lot more sense.
That's cool.
So like, you know, the house will like hand them things. It's kind of like the water in Moana. Like the house serves them and the house guides them and it's like, hey, come this way. And like, hey, you're late. And like there's a clock towards her at one of the times. And that's kind of how the Holy Spirit like guides our hearts. But we just can't see it. It's not as physical as the house is in Encanto. So anyways, so she has these three triplets, and all three of those triplets are given a gift, and then those their children are also given gifts, except for sweet Mirabel, who is not given a gift, and it causes her deep wounds. The entire city comes together, the whole town, to watch her gift ceremony, and it's a sweet little girl with these big brown eyes, and she looks up at the door, and the door disappears, and this gift that she thought was coming to her is suddenly gone. And these gifts are really like their identity. It becomes who they are. And it's really important to have this identity, because they've not been given an identity of just being the beloved or part of the family. They are there to serve. Yeah. And so the family uses these gifts to serve the entire town. So the entire town wants them to have these gifts, right? And poor Mirabel doesn't have a gift. And a sudden shame falls over her in that moment. And as you watch the movie, each one of these characters kind of struggles with their gift and struggles with their identity and with the lies they hear because of this gift or not gift. And you can see these wounds really start to form in each one of these characters. And the greatest wound, and it takes a while to get to this point, but the greatest wound is actually in the abuela, who had gone through this trauma. She had a deep trauma. Her husband died right in front of her. She was left with triplets to raise on her own. And God rescued her in that moment. Like if we believe that this Encanto is from the Holy Spirit, then God is giving her this great gift to walk her through the hardest time of her life. And she receives that gift, but then she grasps it and she controls the gift to the point where she actually makes her family miserable. Because they're so worried about falling apart. They're so worried about making a mistake. They're so worried about ruining this gift forever. And I think that's part of it too, is like, it's not freely given to them. It's they're constantly having to earn the gift. We have to continue to strive towards this identity of this gift. And if we don't strive for it, then it's going to fall apart and we're all going to lose it. And so if anybody steps one foot in the wrong direction or makes one mistake, then they're now hurting the family and they're hurting the entire town. That's a pretty heavy
weight.
Heavy weight to wear on your shoulders. And so I watched the ending again today and just looked at the sweet little grandma and the pain in her eyes. And the reason I wanted to do this podcast, it was like yesterday the Lord was just like, here, this is what I need my people to hear. Let's go. Let's do this. I feel like there's so many people who are carrying guilt and weight and shame like that and just trying to hold it all together and trying to muscle through. And the Lord's saying, I never asked you to carry that. I never asked you to hold everything together on your own. In fact, I created you to need me. I created you to desire my help. And you live in a fallen world where things are broken. And you will not be able to carry this weight on your own. But I will carry some of it with you. Like I never said the cross would be light. I never said the cross would be easy. But I said I would carry the cross with you. And he's asking us to offer him our crosses and to allow healing to take place in our hearts.
So, okay, so let's keep going. All right, so that is Abuela. And so we have been really moved lately by Dr. Bob Schutz and his Healing the Whole Person series. And now he has multiple different retreats and books and opportunities for healing. But he has devised these seven deadly wounds, and they go with the seven deadly sins. And so it was cute. Yesterday, my girls and I were watching Encanto in the morning before school, because that's what we do around here. And we were like, oh, I see their wounds. And we're like, have the list pulled up. And Livy's all, well, Mirabelle's wound is this. And Ella's like all into it too. And so
I love that.
I know, it was really cute. And so we're just going to go through the wounds for a second. Okay. So Abuela's wound, I believe, is abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And even though her husband was taken away from her, there was a deep loss there, right?
Yeah.
And really, if he chose to go, she might have felt like he was choosing, you know, even though it was a sacrifice.
Right.
But our brains don't always understand the way things really happen. So she felt this great loss, and she was constantly trying to escape the next loss.
Yeah. And whenever you are, whenever abandonment is at, you know, one of the roots of the wounds, the lies you hear are that you're alone, that you have to do it all by yourself, that you have to control, that you have to grasp. And so whenever you are awakened to that wound and the, you know, Lord helps you process through that, you begin to see how much, like Megan was saying, how much of the cross you were trying to carry on your own. And even maybe pushing the cross away, like you don't even have a cross to carry.
Right.
Like it's not really there, you know? And I see, I saw that a lot in Abuela as well.
Yeah. She even says at the end, I'm sorry I held on so tight. I was just afraid to lose you too.
Right.
But it was like that self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
And the needing to control. And you're exactly right. So the other part of these wounds is that each one of these wounds comes from a lie to our identity.
Yeah.
So we talked about identity and needing to know who we are as the beloved. And the evil one is constantly whispering lies into our minds, constantly just telling us that we are not good enough, or that we are not safe, or that we're not secure. And each person has different lies. And so these wounds come from that place. But when you can root out the lie and you can see that it's not true, then it loses its power.
Right.
And a really beautiful moment at the end of this, I don't want to give away the end. I mean, at this point, everybody's heard it, right?
Okay.
At the end of the show, after they've had this kind of heartbreaking moment where Mirabelle tells her, like, I was never good enough for you, Abuela. I will never be who you want me to be. They have this time where Abuela is honest with her heart, and she tells her backstory to Mirabelle, and she says, I was just afraid of losing them. I was afraid of losing all of you. And there's this moment where the light shines in. You know, like we always talk about like wounds and lies fester in the darkness.
Yeah.
And as long as you're alone with that lie that says no one loves you, no one wants you around, you need to control everything, that gives place for the devil to just keep like twisting it and twisting it and pointing you more with it. But as soon as you share it with it, even one person, light comes into that darkness.
Yeah.
And every single time you are open about it and vulnerable, more light comes in.
Yeah.
Every time you share it with the Lord, huge amounts of light come in. And so for her to share that with Mirabelle, it changed the whole course of their family, the whole course of the movie, because now Mirabelle understands her.
Mm-hmm.
She sees her wound. She sees where she's coming from. She doesn't just see her as some mean, terrible woman who's trying to control their life.
And you know what that brought out in Mirabelle was compassion.
Compassion, yes.
Yeah.
Empathy.
Right. And understanding, like, oh, this is where she was coming from.
Yeah.
I get it now.
And not everybody responds that way. So I think that's a beautiful part of the movie too.
Right.
Is that she was able to like really hear her grandmother's story and say, you know what? You're broken.
Right.
And that's okay. We're all broken. But
right.
we're gonna journey this together. And then there's like this big family bonding that happens at the end.
Yeah.
So that's Abuela. So Mirabelle's wound that we see is rejection.
Yeah.
So when she's this little girl and she sees everyone around her receive their gift, and their gifts are magnificent. Like one, her mother can heal people, and her uncle has a gift of prophecy, and her sisters, one is beautiful and roses fly out of her hair. And the other one, and she's perfect. And the other one is really strong, and she can carry like houses on her shoulders and things like that. So these are really pretty profound gifts. And she realizes that she has none of these things.
Yeah.
And she spends the whole rest of her life trying to earn that place.
Yeah.
Trying to strive to be in a place of feeling like she's wanted and she's needed. And to her credit, when this happened, Abuela kind of shut her back. Like she said, you basically, you know, you're part of this family, but you're not really part of this family. So she was given some definite blows from the world too. And people said, oh, you're the one without the gift. So it's not all just in her head.
Of all the family members, I kind of see her as operating the most healthiest with their wound. Does that make sense? Because I saw her in the place of rejection, still championing those around her who are using their gift and encouraging them. And, like in the songs that she sings, she's like, I'm still a part of this family. I still matter.
Yeah.
And I think that could be a good witness to see, like, when we are anchored, I really feel like she's the most anchored in who she is, not in like the others are anchored in their gifting.
Yeah.
And in their whatever, you know, like.
I think she's trying to tell herself she's anchored.
Well, I think she
wants to be, but she's operates, still really struggling.
Yeah. And that's what I mean of all of them. She's the healthiest. Doesn't mean she's like fully
right.
She's living right. So and just the longing came out of like some deep hurt, right? But she still tried to surfacey, like encourage others and tell herself she has a place and that sort of thing.
Yeah. But she gets to a point where she says, I can't remember who she said it to, but she said, I'm sorry, I was just trying to be somebody I wasn't. I was trying to make my own gift, basically, is what she was doing. Is she was trying to prove to them that she was worthy. And the lie for rejection is I'm unwanted and I'm not good enough. And she heard that a lot.
Yeah.
But she would kind of tell herself, I'm still part of this family. I'm still good. I'm still great.
Right.
But like deep in the back of her mind, she was going, I'm not wanted. I'm not, I don't have a place here with them. But the beautiful part of the whole story is that her gift was her way that she loved people. It was her way that she brought people together. It was her way that she championed them, and she saw the good in them, and she was able to be the mediator in the family that brought out
healing.
Truth and healing. And one thing I think is cool about her is they all have like a symbol of their gifting. And on her dress, she has the symbols of everybody's gifting because she is like the glue that holds everyone together.
That's
really
cool.
Once she's able to step into that role and that calling, then everything starts to meld and make sense and mesh. But before that, she really struggles with it. Okay. And then her big sister, Luisa, she's the one who's like super strong.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and she sings this whole song about, the weight of the world being on her shoulders and
under pressure.
Yeah. A drip of pressure over her all the time. And so for her, the wound that I saw was powerlessness, which is funny because she's powerful, right?
Interesting. Yeah.
But she doesn't have control.
Yeah.
And she's stuck in this situation where the weight of the world is always on her.
Right.
And it's always being told to her, you have to carry everything because you're the big sister. You're the one who's stronger than everyone else. And she's actually crumbling under the weight of all of this pressure. And I thought about that quite a bit of like our children. I think our older daughters a lot of times carry that weight, but also moms.
Yeah.
Moms carry that weight where we say, I have to handle all of this because there's no one else who can do it, which a lot of times there's some truth in that. Somebody has got to keep the family moving.
Right.
Especially
right.
if you're a single mom, like you have to carry the weight of everything, right? Because there's no one else to help bear the load with you.
Yeah.
And so, but sometimes we end up not taking care of ourselves because we're so worried about everybody else. And I find myself doing that a lot of just being the mom of a lot of like medical issues in our family. My health always comes last. My, you know, mental health comes last. My everything comes last because I'm constantly pouring into them.
Right, right. And I think when someone is struggling with that, the spirit of self-reliance sneaks in.
It does.
And that's, you know, putting yourself in the place that God wants to be.
You
know, just fully relying on yourself instead of doing all the things that you have to do and fully relying on the Lord to provide, yes, and the Lord to order your day, the Lord to multiply your sleep, the Lord to work in the hearts of your children and, mm-hmm, and heal wounds that you may have caused and that sort of thing, like just shifting. And that's something that I personally have to renounce a lot, is that spirit of self-reliance. Yeah. And so many times I don't realize it. I think sometimes a couple of times you've made me like become aware of it. And it's so freeing whenever like, oh,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And the lie for that powerlessness is that it all depends on me.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. And that's that self-reliance, right? Yeah. Everything depends on me, which in actuality, none of it depends on us. Mm-hmm. We just get to follow what God calls us to.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing she takes on a lot is false responsibility.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think we do that a lot as moms and women too, is mm-hmm, this idea of false responsibility of it's my fault, or I have to be the one to pick up the pieces. I have to be the one. And actually that is like a lie from the enemy, is false responsibility. And it's cloaked under a good intention.
Yeah.
It looks very good and very Christian to take responsibility of things, but really he's putting responsibility on us that we were never meant to carry.
Right. And a lot of times that looks like someone also taking on someone else's spiritual life.
Ooh, yeah.
As your responsibility too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, I see that sometimes between spouses.
Yeah.
Wanting their spouse to step it up spiritually or whatever. And you take on that responsibility, that weight of trying to fix them or provide the spiritual elements for them. And that's not our job either. Like, mm-mm, we are called to be salt of the earth and light and honey that heals and to walk in the truth of who we are and allow that to work, like God to use that in their spiritual lives.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of the
force anything.
The plates. You need to share the plates.
Yeah. So I was preparing for a talk the other day, and sometimes when I prepare for talks, it's like the Lord just gives me exactly what I'm supposed to say. And then other times I get like all up in my head. And I think I'm like, I only have 45 minutes with them. I need to teach them everything. Everything there is to know about the Lord. And that's stupid, number one. Like, mm-hmm, impossible, number two. And three, it's not my job. My job is just to be faithful to what he wants for me in that moment.
Yeah.
My job is not to convert every person on the planet. And so we logged on to our encounter call the other day. And my encounter leader is a sweet priest who lives like in Nebraska. And every time we get on, he's like, I was praying this morning and I had a vision for one of you. And I swear every time it's for me. And they're like, I'm like, you and I, we need to be friends. So he had this vision though of an old cafeteria. He said like from the 60s. And you know, there's like a stack of plates on the side that the lunch lady would pass out to people. And he said, I see one of you and you're standing there with a stack of plates. And you're trying to put food on them. You're trying to feed the people. And Jesus is standing next to you saying, I already have that covered. Mm-hmm. All I need for you is to take the plate to the people. And it was like this very real moment of, I'm not asking you to provide everything they need. Mm-hmm. All I'm asking you is to be faithful and provide them what I give you.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to give it to you. You don't have to grasp or control or force things, because when that happens, then I'm believing the lies that the enemy's putting in my head of, you know, they're not going to like your message and then that becomes all about me and mm-hmm. not about the Lord. And that is not the goal at all.
Yeah. And I love that story so much, because as we're journeying through Find Your Fire, and each one of you are being awakened, you are like a side dish, I guess, that the mm-hmm. Lord knows for the whatever person that you're going to come into contact with that day, or you have an influence over their life, that he's going to use those pieces of you and your story or a ministry he's calling you to, whatever, as something on that person's plate. So you are not the full portion on that person's plate, but you are a part that the Lord can draw from to feed that person exactly what that person needs.
Yeah. You don't have to fill the whole plate.
Right.
It's not all up to you.
Yeah.
And I think we also, I hear this a lot of with women with grown children
mm-hmm.
who are really worried about the faith of their grown children.
Right. Yeah.
Or teenagers or college students. And just like that false responsibility that somehow this is my fault, or that I have to bring them back to the faith, or that I have to be in control.
Yeah.
And so what we end up doing is we end up grasping to the point where we push them away.
Yeah.
I did that as a married woman. It's not a good idea. Like, I dragged Chad for many, many years and tried to get him to love the Lord the way I did, because I saw such beauty in it and I wanted it for his heart. But my grasping was not making a difference, and I needed to surrender his heart to God, because as much as we desire their conversion, the Lord does a million times more.
Absolutely.
He desires their hearts so much more than we could ever desire it for them.
Yeah.
So it's all about surrender, I guess, at some point. Anyways. Okay. Let's talk about Bruno.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Let's talk about Bruno.
Okay. So in
the did you know there's a Saint Bruno?
Oh, yeah.
There is a Saint Bruno. I don't know his story. I just know that he was brought up in something Chris was doing with kids. I don't know. And the kids were like, talk about Bruno. Go ahead.
Sorry. That's funny. So Bruno is one of the triplets, and his gift is prophecy. And people don't like his prophecies. They're not like fun. But they're not bad.
Yeah.
They're not wrong. They're just like I like the priest where it says he told me I would be bald.
Yeah.
And then the priest is bald. I just think it's cute. There's a priest in there and they show his bald head. But so he gives people these prophecies and they don't love them.
Yeah.
And so they kind of turn on him every time they get a bad prophecy. And so eventually, after I guess so many times of feeling like he was failing at his gift, then and Abuela getting mad at him and causing him you know, to feel like he's hurt the family.
He's controlling again.
Yeah. And so he creates this, like, he's just shrouded in shame and guilt. Mm-hmm. And so his wound is shame. And the last prophecy he sees is about Mirabel. And he's so freaked out by it that he's afraid to tell everyone, that he just runs and he hides in his shame. And bless his heart, he hides inside the house. Like, he doesn't even leave. Yes. And they think he's gone. But I really had this moment of thinking about, like, hiding our shame in the shadows.
Oh, yeah.
And hiding our shame in the darkness. Mm-hmm. And
how we're still walking around in the same life, but we're hiding in the
shadows. But totally separated, completely isolated from the rest of the world. He can see them. He can hear them. He actually sits at the table with them when they all sit at the table, but he's on the other side of the wall.
I didn't realize
and
that.
And he makes his own placemat. I know, bless his heart. And he just watches so them sweet. Through the window because he loves his family.
Yeah.
And he desires to be near his family, but he feels this deep, deep shame that has completely isolated him. And I think that's what happens a lot with guilt, is that we go into these dark places and these shameful places. And that is exactly where the enemy can thrive. And he can tell us we're not worthy. And he can tell us we don't matter. And so that's what he does. And Mirabel's, you know, quest to save the family, she finds him and she's like, ooh.
You're not doing so good, Bruno.
you're a little weird, Bruno. We're a little worried about you. But he's able to, by the end of the story, come out into the light again and rejoin his family.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the heaviest cross that a lot of people carry, is the shame. And the message that I kept hearing over and over and over when we were preparing for Set Free is, the Lord does not desire us to carry shame and guilt.
Yeah.
He desires freedom for us. And we are carrying shame that we were never meant to carry.
Mm-hmm.
And he will convict our hearts and he will call us to greatness and he will call us to walk away from sin. But even after we go to confession, a lot of times we still carry the shame.
Mm-hmm.
And confession is meant to be freeing. It is meant to reconcile us back to the family.
Right.
That is what it is. It is returning back to the place of wholeness and the place of community and the place of faith. But we don't allow our hearts to be reconciled. We still hold on to the shame and guilt. And the Lord is saying, I'm ready for you to lay that down.
Yeah.
I'm ready for you to offer it to me and to look into my eyes and let me tell you how deeply I love you. Let me tell you that I was there with you when you made this mistake long ago, or I was there with you when something terrible happened to you that you had no control over, no control whatsoever over what happened to you. And I never asked that little 8-year-old you to carry this guilt for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for you to be able to step into the light and to be free.
Yeah.
So what are some ways that people can make that jump?
As you're saying that, just what's going through my mind, is as much as just thinking about, just as an example, when you said the 8-year-old girl, as much as you don't want to go back there, I would encourage you to go back there in your mind and in your heart, but I not alone.
I was going to say not alone. Yeah.
Right. So, go back there and in prayer and invite Jesus and say, Jesus, where were you in this? Where were you?
And I would even say, if you feel comfortable, don't do that prayer alone. Like, invite someone into that space with you, either a healing prayer trained person or a Catholic therapist, someone who knows how to invite Jesus back into that. EMDR is really effective for that. If you could find Catholic therapists who can do EMDR.
Right.
Yeah, carry on, sorry.
Yeah, no. So invite Jesus into that and say, Jesus, where were you? And allow him to show you that. And it might not happen right away. It might take some patience and some waiting, but I guarantee you he was there. And he wants to walk you out. And so allow yourself to go into that place of allowing him to take your hand out of that moment, that situation, and to walk you out and to rescue you. And it's hard in those situations because it's so easy to go into like blame and like, why didn't you like literally get me out of that situation and that sort of thing. But his heart breaks deeply for those situations, you know?
And we, you know, we learned a lot this year about, there's a couple of different things. There's inner healing prayer, which is something Dr. Bob Schutz really suggests for healing wounds. And then there's also prayer and deliverance through the Unbound ministry. And both of these, I think, work towards the same goal of that. And one thing that Unbound does, though, is they say they have these 5 keys, and you kind of pray through the 5 keys. And what their mission is, or is that there are all these doors that get opened throughout our lives by sin or by trauma, by some sort of spiritual darkness, you know, Ouija board, things like that. But so it can be, sometimes it can be things we've done, and sometimes it can be things that were done to us.
Right.
And those doors allow the evil one to have more access to our hearts. So through this prayer, you very gently and very kindly close all those doors, just one at a time, boom, 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 and close all the doors. But there's a moment in there where they ask people to ask forgiveness. And there's multiple things we do ask forgiveness for. One is for ourselves, because they say very often people go to confession and they have already been forgiven by God, but they are not forgiving themselves. And so that is continuing to have a place where the enemy has a stronghold over your heart, is because we're not able to receive the forgiveness that God has so beautifully offered to us. And I think going through that prayer, like you just talked about, allows us to have a heart-to-heart connection with the Lord where he says, I have forgiven you. I desire you to be completely forgiven and completely whole. And then the second stage of that is forgiving people around us, forgiving someone who caused us pain. And that doesn't mean entering into relationship again. It just means wanting their wholeness and their freedom as well. And
forgiveness and reconciliation are two totally different things.
Very different things. And as long as we're holding on to pain and holding on to hate or, you know, hurt for someone else, that's also allowing the enemy to have stronghold.
Right.
So I highly, highly recommend finding a healing prayer or Unbound ministry near you. You can go straight to the Unbound website and they will find places for you. If you live in Austin, we can absolutely connect you with some people. And then I think there's a lot that are doing Zoom prayers too. So if you're in a different area, I'm sure we can help you find one too.
Right. Yeah.
So the lie that poor Uncle Bruno, Theo Bruno, says is I caused all of this because I am bad.
Yeah.
That's the lie that Shane says.
And wasn't it with his memory with Mirabelle, he didn't allow it to finish?
He stopped it in the middle.
He stopped it. And so he allowed his shame to suffocate his gifting. You know?
Yeah. And that gifting was that prophecy from his gift was actually what was going to save the family.
Right.
But he ran from it in fear.
Right.
And didn't allow it to complete. He got so scared he took off. You're talking about earlier about how the enemy attacks in the place most closely to our gifting.
Yeah, yeah. And that the gifting is right next to the wound. And so the enemy is going to attack the wound right next to it so that we don't step away from it into the gifting. Because the last thing he wants us is to walk in our gifting.
Yeah. Right? He's trying everything he can to keep us from walking in our giftings.
Yeah, yeah. So if that means fear and shutting it off, then he's going to put in fear.
And so how true is that for Encanto? He attacked every single one of them in the place of their gifting.
That's true.
Every single one of them. Yeah. And made it where their gifting was now a burden.
Right.
Instead of a joyous.
And he put in the thoughts that they have to do with themselves. What am I trying to say?
The self-reliance.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He put this lie in their head that said, this gift depends fully on you.
Right.
It is yours to maintain.
Mentality.
Performance. Yeah. It is yours to maintain. You must perform to keep this gift.
Yeah.
And we know about the identity and the way that God created us that none of that is true.
Right.
Our identity is a gift that he gave us. Yeah. And our charisms, whatever those may be, are fully free gifts. We don't have to earn them. We don't have to strive towards maintaining them.
Right.
We get to rest in who God is and what he's made us and how he created us to be his.
Yeah.
And when we're fully living out of that resting, then our gifting and our charisms thrive.
Yeah.
Then they just like bubble to the surface and they're overflowing and they give us energy
and joy and peace versus
holding us down and causing us pain and causing us heartache.
Yeah.
That's good. Good job, Kendra. Look at you. Diving deep. I like it. Okay. So we won't go through all the characters, but, so at the end when, every time there's a moment of, like transformation or a moment of healing or even like little like guiding towards the next step for problem solving in the story, there's a butterfly. And so the butterfly takes them, like the butterfly, I'm pretty sure, I've watched this 7 million times, how do I not know this? But I'm pretty sure the butterfly even leads her into where she finds the missing
– the pieces.
So the butterfly kind of leads her and the house leads her too.
Uh-huh.
And so I can't help but think that that's the Holy Spirit saying, come on, like, let's go.
Yeah.
Go this direction. Follow me, Mirabelle. And so anyways, there's this butterfly is this recurring theme. And when after the house crumbles and everything is sad and they've all fallen apart, she runs off by herself and she actually runs to the place where her grandfather died. She doesn't realize that at the time. Wow. And she sits down on the ground where her grandfather died and she's gone for days and they don't know where she is. And Abuela comes and finds her and sits with her. And at this point, Abuela is starting to realize that she's held on too tight. And so they have this beautiful moment. Abuela starts to tell her story. And it starts singing this song. And it's all in Spanish. And I can't say it, even though I know a lot of Spanish, because I don't know what those words are. But at the end, it says, "Ay, mariposa." But that's the end of it. That's not the beginning. But I watched all the words to that song today.
Oh, yeah.
Mind blowing. So it's all about caterpillars.
Oh.
Which sounds cute and fuzzy, but whatever. Like, you get it. So it's talking about these two caterpillars. Uh-huh. And these two caterpillars love each other. And they are, like, building this life together. But they can't stay where they are.
Uh-huh.
They can't stay caterpillars because caterpillars are meant to become butterflies, right?
Yeah.
And so it's showing this flashback of their family and she's saying, look, we're going to have twins or triplets and he's all excited to have babies. And then they continue to just sing this song and talk about how they're like growing right now and they're feeding themselves and they're getting stronger,
mm-hmm.
but soon they're going to be called into transformation.
Wow.
The transformation is coming.
Wow.
And they need to be prepared for this transformation.
Yeah.
And so then it goes through the whole heartache and the sadness.
Right.
And you just see her like heart ripped out of her chest. And it continues to sing this song in Spanish behind her. And then they have their healing moment. And then at the end, the song shifts from the caterpillar to the butterfly.
Oh, wow.
And so now, and there's butterflies swirling all around while they're having this healing moment. And the butterflies swirl around the candle every time the miracle is strong.
Uh-huh.
So it's showing that like life is being breathed back into this miracle. And it's like, okay, now it's time to, and it says this, it's time to come out of the chrysalis. It's time to come out of this darkness.
Yeah.
And it's time to breathe new life into
where
you've been and where you're going. And it's time to be set free. It actually talks about this in the show.
That's amazing.
That it's time to fly.
Yeah.
Like it's time to go.
Yeah.
And I think that's so cool for many reasons. One, my oldest daughter, Ella, sees the Lord speaks to her through butterflies, mm-hmm. which is really cool. And not just butterflies, but blue butterflies in particular. And she had an encounter with Mary one time, and Mary gave her the blue butterfly and said, mm-hmm. this is how the Lord is going to speak to you. And we figured out that in Spanish, mariposa actually is Mary poses, mm-hmm. which is like Mary, like praying to Mary. I'm doing praying hands. You can't see me. But like the posing, the butterfly, when it opens and closes, looks like praying hands. Yeah. And so it's actually meant to be a symbol of the love of Mary and the love of God. And so when you wrap all that into it,
yeah.
and Kendra and Rachel and I were praying the other day, we have an exciting announcement
yes,
to make.
Yes, we do.
And we're praying, and a butterfly came to mind for us. And it all just works so beautifully
yeah.
with this story. And so we get to announce that we are having a women's Adoration night and little mini retreat in Round Rock, Texas, and it's going to be called Awake My Soul. And we just had this vision of, we've been on this journey of Find My Fire, and this is going to be kind of like the culminating piece to the journey, mm-hmm. and the moment where, this sounds a little cheesy, but I don't care, like the moment where God says, okay, I've been forming you, mm-hmm. and I've been preparing you, and I've been stirring your heart, and I've been healing your wounds, and I'm ready for you to step out of that darkness. Yeah. I'm ready for you to come out of the chrysalis. I'm ready for you to fly.
Yes.
And so we just had this image of butterflies.
Yeah.
And a new life.
Yeah.
And it seems funny because it's Advent, and we're like, that seems like that should be a spring.
Right.
a
I know.
Spring thing, not an Advent thing. But I just, in my prayer, I had this like idea and this vision of that Advent is New Year's. Mm-hmm. It's New Year's for the church. And so it is a new year. It is a new time for like awakening.
Yeah.
Like this year is going to be the year that the church is awakened.
Yeah.
It is the Eucharistic revival is, you know, in full force. And that yeah. 2023, the liturgical year, is going to be the time where God just says, come alive, come awake.
Yes.
So
yes.
Awake my soul.
Woo! Awake my soul.
I know. We'll probably sing that song like yeah. nonstop as we're preparing yeah. for all of this.
I love it so much. I'm so excited. Just before we had that prayer meeting, the night before, I think I was praying, and I think it was during my holy hour, I was praying, and I was like, God, what is your name for me? Mm-hmm. And I had prayed that prayer before, and nothing has come. I'm like, okay, fine. but he sent my butterfly.
He did? Oh, gosh, I forgot that. Yeah. I remember you saying that, but I forgot that was the name. Oh,
my
gosh.
I was like, okay, what is that? Okay, I'm a little flutter butterfly. But then as we were praying, it just all came together of how, like, you received the butterfly and the cocoons and God has very intentionally led Megan and I on this journey of living out mm-hmm. finding your fire.
Right.
And it's so beautiful that he has brought us here to this place of speaking it into this podcast now and into your hearts and inviting you, like Megan just said so beautifully, to come out of your cocoon, come out of the darkness, come out of the safe place that you may think is the safest, but really it's confining and
it's self-protection.
Right, right. And many times we try, a butterfly cannot come out of its cocoon too early because it can't survive.
Yeah.
And it has to go through that full transformation. Mm-hmm. It has to go through full transformation from caterpillar to butterfly before it can come out of the cocoon. And so we're inviting you on this journey of being fully in the cocoon, but allowing yourself to be transformed in the cocoon mm-hmm. through the healing, through the awakening, through finding your fire, your identity, so that you can burst forth and fly in this space of safety, of being anchored in who you are, and just enticing and drawing out others to come live fully alive.
Ooh. And think about the generational impact that it has on families.
Yes,
because
yes,
that's a big part of the story too, right? Is that mm-hmm. her not being able to heal her own wounds gave wounds to her family. Mm-hmm. But if we as women can stop that right now,
yeah.
can seek healing, can allow the Holy Spirit to take root in our lives, to get to know him, to have intimacy and identity in who we are as God's beloved, that will change our children.
It will.
It will change
Yes. It'll change the world. It will change the trajectory of the world.
It will. And I can say, you know, from my own personal experience, when I had my big conversion, it changed my family. Mm-hmm. Not just my immediate family, but my parents, my brother, my, like, people all around started to see that something was different. And then they start to question and they wonder. And then the Lord has access to their hearts now because they're open to it.
Right,
and so we just desire this for everyone.
Yeah.
But you living fully alive as the butterfly allows others to, like, be fully alive too. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. Every chance we get to meet with you and talk about Jesus just brings so much joy to our hearts. I pray that the revival is coming, and I pray that the revival is coming through you. Did you know that you're part of this? I pray that every single day you grow more in love with Jesus, you hear his voice more, you follow him more, and I pray that this podcast is helping you a little bit along that way. If you are liking what you're hearing, we would love for you to share it with a friend. We would love for you to make a review on your podcast app, Apple, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use, and we would love for you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and email us if you ever have any questions or you just want to share what God did in your heart today during the episode. See you next week.